And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, coming your way right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app, as well as Facebook and YouTube Live. Having a fun time here this morning, and boy, like we joked about in the beginning of the show, a lot more fun when things are running smooth. And a big thanks to George from Backbone, and Kyle yesterday, and a huge one to Jeff this morning, keeping us running here on the fan. And you, Corey, it's been a fun morning this morning, talking fishing with a great dude, Justin, new to the Let's Talk Hookup family, but boy, a natural, and one talking really, really fun times this morning with the Apollo, the great San Diego season coming up, Puerto Vallarta right after that, the great fishing that's happening right now. We're just having a great time.
I agree with you. And when fishing's your life, and it comes off the cuff easy, right, Justin?
No doubt.
Yeah,
no
exactly. Doubt. If you want to join us, you can do so. Let's see, you can call the fan. Jeff's waiting for your call at 833-288-0973, or you can text us via the app. It says right there through the app, says text the show. It goes to Rick and I. Make sure you do leave your name and telephone number, which most of you do. If you don't, you're not in for the prize, man. We're giving away the Paracosta sunglasses, the Pilot House Pro with the gray 580 lens and the matte black frame, man. Thanks to Costa for that.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. We're pumped, and a really cool pair of shades at one lucky caller or texter is going to be winning again. And like Corey said, if you want to join us, 833-288-0973. I would say that this morning that would be the route that I would go. You know, there's a lot of text. We probably have, you know, another 100 text messages yet, so your odds are always better on the phones.
I bet it is? I bet it's dad trying to take care of mom, and then on the side listening to the show and texting the show, and a little more difficult to call in.
You got that right. Yeah. Well, we're having a lot of fun talking fishing this morning, and we're going to start the second hour off with a great text. Says, good morning, guys. What a great show as always. Really fun hearing from Captain Justin. My question, how does yellowfin and bluefin fishing here locally, say on a two-day trip, compare to the tuna fishing in Puerto Vallarta? Are they very different? Are they quite similar? Really looking forward to seeing you. That's from Joe in La Mesa.
So we have to set our sights a little bit differently in Puerto Vallarta. In Southern California, we take advantage of what's available. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to, you know, just take whatever we get. It depends on – we have to balance options. But we normally have a different set of options in Southern California. Normally we're dealing with a school-sized fish. Sometimes we get lucky and we have opportunities for these big boys. But those big boys are just about always there in Puerto Vallarta. So we becomes we will bounce smaller fish off our bow while we're trying to find ourselves some big boys. I mean, literally, sometimes we're going through spinner schools or breaking fish of this 15 to 25 to 50 pound fish, and we're just driving right through them, enjoying the sights while we go try and find some big boys. That's not always the case. Sometimes that's what we're playing with, but more often than not, we're setting our sights a lot higher in Puerto Vallarta.
Okay.
There's a lot of big stuff.
You're trophy hunting down there.
Trophy hunting, and our side hustles and the other stuff that we get to play with, as opposed to hitting some kelps while we're driving around looking for tuna. Well, we got to go hit the rocks and play around with some dogtooth snapper, some pargo, some roosterfish, some amberjack, or some other kind of stuff. So it's a different size fish for the most part, and it's also that we're not quite as the same bait fishery. So our style of fishing is a little bit differently. It's a lot of structure-oriented fish. It's areas that hold fish that we're getting onto when they're showing signal. We get up on there, we put out our baits, and we drift. And we're putting out double trebles or balloons on kites or that kind of stuff, sitting down some sinker rigs, doing these long slow fly lines, where we're investing some time to get the big bites, as opposed to running down bird school after bird school where we're trying to slide back some baits and hook a few. Those are the teenagers. Those are the little swirly ones. Those are you can catch those up here with me. Down there in Puerto Vallarta, we're changing our tactics around a little bit to try and get the big geriatrics.
Now, for somebody who's not done any of that type of fishing before, is it you know, like, a, can you be relatively novice and still get bites and experience that type of fishing? Should they be fishing with you up here more? Like, what's the experience level take for somebody to go down and catch those big fish?
I mentioned earlier the gentleman that came out with us, and his first saltwater tuna was 180 pounds, and his second one was a second saltwater fish was a swordfish. It's honestly easier to do this style of fishing than to go on a half-day boat try and catch a calico bass. Truly, it's a lot of long soaks. So we're fishing 130-pound test. We're getting these caballitos, these large hardy baits, these shoulder hook baits away from the boat.
Which is a cool story on its own.
Yeah, I know it's a totally different totally different deal.
You're not pulling up to Everingham Brothers and loading up scoops of sardine, right?
No, we've got these gentlemen. Thank you guys so much. They go out there night after night in their little panga, put out their light, and they fish these little hand tied hand line sabikis, catching our caballitos one at a time. They've got a little cage that they keep next to their boat. They fill that up full of my baits. Then they empty that. They fill their panga. They fill their boat up with water so that they can put our baits in between the benches and the panga. They run it out to our little corral, our little bait receiver that we have out in front of the marina.
You have your own bait.
Absolutely.
Your own bait receiver. Cool.
You got it. We have to be our own little Ebros. We have to take care of our own stuff.
That's cool.
Bait's huge. It's critical. It's the most important thing.
Sure.
So it's very important that we have good bait. Available bait, lots of it.
Thank God for
That's
the bait
cool.
crew.
Yeah, no doubt about
Thank
it.
Guys.
Is Caballito that's the exclusive bait down there? Are there other things you guys catch and use? Is that the deal?
Caballitos are what we throw in our tank. We leave the dock every time with a tank full of caballitos. We normally put 750, 800 pieces of bait on the boat. And when we're lucky, when the moon says yes and the conditions are correct, we get our candy. We get to fish those Humboldts. We get those Humboldt squids, those foot longers.
Mm-hmm.
Those are a blast. Those things, those elephant really, really, really seem to like those things.
And you just catch those on your own, or do the bait guys catch those for
We
you?
Catch those ourselves. Honestly, sometimes the squid nights are the most entertaining parts of the trip. Going out there and catching these things on fish, little bass rods with light squid jigs on them, and catching those things throughout the night, especially with a cold Pacifico or a margarita.
Works out
pretty
rough. That's cool.
That sounds like a good time.
Doesn't that sound like fun, man? It's really cool.
For sure. You have me a margarita right there. It's a good time.
Well, why don't we jump back into the phones?
Let's do that, Rick. How about we talk to Doug? Doug calling from Montebello. Good morning, Doug.
What's up, Doug?
Hi. It's a little about trolling. How fast do you guys actually move the boat?
When we're trolling, we normally go pretty fast. So we will even change our trolling spread to accommodate such. I like to troll around 9 knots or so, sometimes even more. If I were out here, you know, on a beautiful day and we're chasing yellowfin tuna, like what's going on down south right now, if I were doing that, I'd probably slow my boat down. If I was in the zone, I'd be fishing some Zucker, those 3.5s or something like that, the poxy heads. I'd be fishing those at 6.5 or 7 knots. But I adjust my spread. I fish a lot of hard lures. Those biter lures have been really good, or those halcos have been working out really well, or these jet heads. I'll fish that kind of stuff so that I can troll effectively at 9 knots or 9.5 knots. Because if I control fast, I can cover more water. If I can cover more water, I can find more fish.
It seems like, you know, these days, obviously you take a jig strike anytime you can get it. A bonus is a bonus. But you're likely more effective to be covering area and looking with your eyeballs and looking at your machines than you are relying on the lures behind the boat.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So I'll adjust it as necessary. If I'm in that little box, if that fish is in that box and it's really important for me to get that jig strike, I will change up my spread to have a really nice spread that works well at a slower speed. But more often than not, I'm trying to cover water and find aggressive, hungry fish.
You're wanting to be more effective at looking, and if you get it, you get it, and then, you know, then if it's all about getting a jig strike, you just slow down, you give them a better opportunity.
Exactly.
I got you.
Exactly.
It's pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, totally.
I want to bring up this text, Rick, because there's been a few texts asking about pricing for Puerto Vallarta, and this one comes from Cliff and Blossom Valley. For the Puerto Vallarta trip, sounds great. Two questions, and we've already covered one of them. But his main question here, how to find out the price for one or two guests, as I can only see the full charter price. And the second part, his question was about bringing back fish, which you've already covered.
Well, I think you need to find 10 more friends. We're only doing charters right now.
So it's all charters down
there. All charters in Puerto Vallarta. Lori Miller's been helping us out. She's like our administrator. She's fielding calls as far as reservations goes and whatnot. She's got a list of guys looking for guys. She's got a list of people that are trying to find some more people. So
hey, I've got the boat chartered, but I've only got 7 buds, and we need 4 more to fill it up, kind of thing.
Exactly. So we're only doing charters. I can't. It's a fly down, fly back trip. It's not like, oh, guys, well, we're supposed to be leaving at 9 or at 7 p.m., but we've only got 4 people. Why don't you come back tomorrow?
Right.
I can't do it like that. So it's all charters in Puerto Vallarta, but we definitely got groups that are looking for some extra people.
Perfect.
So give us a call. Call Lori. She'll talk to you, and she'll get you all dialed in with some other people looking for the same.
Perfect.
That's cool. A good way to do it, right?
Yeah, no doubt, man. That's exciting. And I can't wait. How about, the one thing and you know because you've spent so much time down there. Is there much of a wahoo fishery at all that happens down there? Like, it just seems like everything is there, but you don't hear a ton about that. Is it?
It's funny that you ask that. So one of these days, I'm going to crack this code because there is wahoo there. We catch them occasionally on the troll. Mm-hmm. We'll occasionally get half of our bait back, or we'll get one on the fly line or something like that. But not much. Some days on a blue moon, they're eating that troll pretty decent. But I can't tell you how many, like, multiple times we've been up at some of the structure, like fishing of Corbentania, which is a little rock that comes out in the middle of nowhere. And we'll be out there, and we're getting our 130-pound fluorocarbon getting bit off maybe once or something like that. Like, we get a bite here and there.
Yeah.
But my buddies are over there in the Ponga, and they're just going down there with their spear guns, bringing up wahoo after wahoo after wahoo.
Really?
And I've watched it time after time where there's wahoo there. But it's not the fishery that we are used to. You can't just troll around marauders or DTXs.
Yeah.
You can't sit there and cast bombs at them. They're not eating the raiders.
Huh.
We've gone through the SoCal textbook of how to catch a wahoo. We're not very good at it. We did figure this out.
Nobody is.
Even the guys that have born and raised down there that have been fishing this forever, these wahoo are, like I said, one of these days we're going
to
crack that.
So it'd be easy to think that they're just not around, but to see guys with the spear guns getting one after another, that's a trip, huh?
Absolutely.
Well, it'll be fun when you crack. I bet if anybody's going to crack the code, it's the guy sitting across the
table. Oh, it will be
us.
For sure, yeah. But I wonder if that's like if you're on the RP or the Royal Star or one of the boats that has sardine and you've got that sardine in the water.
No doubt.
Like get some loosey-goosey fired up, right?
You heard that, Sam. Bring me some sardine if you would, please. I'd very much
appreciate it. Right? Exactly. But maybe that's the factor.
Maybe
the water gets them fired up
and
they lose control.
Well, now we have a little bit bigger bait capacity. I've been doing this in the Delta for a while. We're topped off with 400 or 500 caballitos.
Yeah.
Now I've got 2 bait tanks that size, plus a bait tank, plus an enormous slammer.
Wow.
So now I get to play around a little bit. Maybe we'll start throwing a bunch of sardina,
like
deep belly sardina that they cast net down there. Maybe I'll start filling up one of my tanks with that stuff.
How interesting would that be, right?
That would be fun. That would be a good
time. Yeah, and those are interesting. I mean, they look just like a sardine if you've never seen one. But their bellies look like a shad.
Yeah, they look a lot like a shad, exactly.
They literally look like a freshwater shad.
Really?
But they're sardines.
It's a sardine paint job on a threadfin shad.
Exactly.
And they actually do have the long dorsal off the back,
like a
threadfin shad.
Totally.
Yeah.
They're a trip. Have your first trip down, will you bring sardine, or does the sardine just not live in the... Does the sardine not live when it's down there in the marina? Like, how does that part shake out?
So there's... It will live down there for a while. We'll just use them up.
Sure.
I can't keep them down there. But we'll definitely bring some sardine with us because I don't plan on just doing a drive. We plan on going...
You're going to be fishing on your way down.
So we've already talked quite a bit of that.
That's a ticket I want to buy right there.
You and everybody else.
This is friends and family.
Everybody
asks me how long does it take to drive down there. Somewhere between 8 and 10 days, probably.
Yeah. Exactly.
Maybe 12.
It's a 72-hour trip that takes a week.
Exactly.
That's cool. Well, that's fun. Well, hey, we had another fun text coming through for Justin. Says, "Morning, guys. Hey, Justin, I'm curious. Having a Mexican flagged boat running at a Seaford, are there any areas that you get to fish that U.S. flagged boats don't? Also, what is the biggest yellowfin tuna caught in Puerto Vallarta? Or excuse me, what is the best time of year for the largest of yellowfin tuna in Puerto Vallarta?" That's from Jeff in Huntington Beach.
Oh, Jeff, trust me. I wish we had the ability to fish in some of these places that we don't get to fish right now. But no, we are following the exact same rules that all the Southern California boats do. The American flag, they're strictly American flag vessels. Same rules apply. Mexico has recently, I guess it's been a little while, but all of their islands, for instance, all have they're all biospheres. They're all special regulations. One of the very few that we actually get a really enjoy is the Coronados with proper permits. But no, we're not going to be doing Guadalupe trips anytime soon. Hopefully things change. But yep, same.
It's funny that you read deals. Between the lines. Like that was clearly exactly what he was asking in a very politically correct way.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, do we get to go to Guadalupe?
I've talked to some of my friends down at Cedros, you know, and maybe once a year or something like that. We'll do some tuna fishing on the way down there. Then we'll anchor ourselves up and let some of the Cedros boys take you out for some Cedros fishing on
that'd be fun.
As a skiff trip. But I don't have any special allowances, so to speak. Not up here.
That's fun. Yeah. That's cool. Do you have a good text you want to record?
I do. I mean, there's so many to choose from, right? And I think this is somebody trying to stump you, Justin. And it comes from, right? Comes from Bay Park here, Ian. Good morning. You said you have all the gear for the Apollo trips in Puerto Vallarta, but how about if you're a left-handed left-handed fisherman, do you have to bring your own reels?
Oh, man. You got me.
Right? Oh, he stumped you. Ian from Bay Park stumped you.
You know, Ian, maybe I'll talk to the guys. Like I said, Pure Fishing has been amazing with us. They've hooked us up really, really well with some tackle between, like, these electric fathoms and the OG fathoms and the international VISXs. I believe... they do make some left-handed fathoms, so I can probably get you some of the gear down there. But no, I don't have left-handed large two-speeds for that cow fishing. Some of our passengers do make a habit out of bringing their own large reels with them. They just like having. I mean, yes. this is you going for the fish of your lifetime. So they like bringing their own personal tackle with them. Believe the rod. I'm pretty sure that my CalStar Graphfighters are going to work just fine no matter which handle or which side the handle's
yeah,
on.
Yeah, right.
So go ahead and use my rods if you want to bring your own reels. It makes life real easy. Just remember you cannot carry on that line. So either use those Swifty line holders and dump that line and put it into your check bag. Then you can carry on your reel, or you can put your reel into a hard box and check the whole thing.
Simple enough,
yeah,
right?
Good answer. I had another one from Sean and Blossom, and says, good morning, guys. Happy, great show. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there in the Let's Talk Hookup universe. Justin, I'll be fishing on the Apollo for the first time this July with the Fred Stanger group. I've heard so many great things about the boat. Can't wait to see her. Could you give us a little more detail about the berthing situation? And he also mentioned the food, which you talked about there, but he's excited for his day and a half trip.
Awesome, yeah. So when you first come down the stairs on either side, you're going to see that's our shared berthing area. So there is three levels of bunks. The ones on the center are the largest ones. They're the big, wide ones. It's three high, three deep. There's the ones on the outboards are a little bit more narrow, but especially like the second and third one in are pretty spacious on their own. I put my crew on the very, very aft bunks. Those of you guys who fished the Apollo the past couple years, I know they're using the bow stateroom for crew. We revamped it. We're throwing our crew in the back of the bus now and opening up that stateroom again. So we have a total of five staterooms. Let's see. It's three bunks available, two bunks available, four bunks available is how it goes from aft to forward there. But like I said, we also sleep 31 people, and we normally max out a load of 22. So there's lots of space. They're big bunks, and if you log on to seaforthlanding.com, they have a little bunk layout sheet on there. You can click on that and check out exactly how it's laid up. But the bunks are big. The staterooms are nice. If you want, please just come over and check it out.
That's cool. That's great. You talked about he mentioned the food, and you talked about Oat's great cooking. What's your favorite? What's your favorite thing that he throws down for your San Diego season up here that he does on the boat?
It's cheating because it's not really breakfast or lunch or dinner, but my favorite by far is Oat's pokey. He does this pineapple pokey. I stole his recipe, and I still don't make it as good as he does. But when he's taking some yellowfin or even skipjack, some people will think I'm crazy. Some people
don't
know what I'm talking
about.
Come on. That skipjack pokey, I could eat a five-gallon bucket of that.
Really?
Stuff.
Dude, Hawaiians live on
that. That is my absolute favorite, and literally I can just eat that stuff forever.
Yeah.
That's cool. And,
sounds amazing.
Yeah, no doubt. How's the? How do you guys handle the fish for him to make the perfect poke? Is it a fish that day? Do you, does it sit in the RSW overnight? Like, what's the if you're gonna throw down, make his famous poke with a perfect piece of tuna? What's the front side of that? Like, what do you do to take care of a fish to make it that way?
So I truly prefer skipjack to yellowfin or even more so bluefin,
okay.
Because it stays firm when it's in good shape. When you mix around some bluefin versus some skipjack, when you're making that poke with the sauces in it,
uh-huh.
It seems like that bluefin, because of all that fat in it, that fat starts to melt a little bit, starts to create like a paste,
okay.
With the sauces, as opposed to something like skipjack, which is a leaner fish, so it doesn't create that paste. It's just chunks of clean tuna,
yeah.
In this clear sauce around it. But to get that nice firm meat, skipjack is sensitive. The reason skipjack has a bad name is if you put that thing into a gunny sack, it is,
It's like going back in the days of Bonito.
Yeah, it's
mush by the afternoon.
Or Sierra. You don't see Sierra at the grocery store, but it's one of the best ceviche fishes you can eat down in Mexico, because they're very, very sensitive. You gotta catch this stuff. You gotta spike it. You've gotta bleed it, gill it, bleed it, and then get it down in an RSW. Get that thing where it's nice and chilled. We've got two RSWs on the Apollo, keeps that stuff at a nice 33 degrees, keeps it nice and cold. What we normally do when we're doing pokey is we'll take a little piece of tuna cord, we'll tie a little lasso around that fish's tail, drop it into the RSW, and tie it off onto the bait tank hooks.
Oh, so you can pull it back
out. Exactly. That way we don't have to try and find that thing.
And same day fish, like you catch that thing in the morning, you let him RSW get nice and cold, and then that evening, that's the primo piece.
That's, there's nothing better than fish that you caught that day.
That sounds so amazing. I want to go just on the trip to enjoy Oats food, man. Are you kidding me?
You're going to have to.
What about breakfast, like ranchero? Come on.
Loco
Moco.
Right?
Exactly. Loco Moco is the good stuff.
Yeah.
Exactly. Especially because it's not... You can't do a Loco Moco for breakfast and then a cheeseburger for lunch. That doesn't work so well. I can only take so many burger patties with a fried egg on top of it. But getting a good Loco Moco to get me ready for the morning, and then following it up with like a pad thai for lunch or something like that. That'll keep you going.
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
You don't want to meet this guy.
You need to. He's an absolute blast.
That's cool.
Right, exactly.
Hey, with that said, it's time to find out what's going on the water. It's time for our fishdope.com report by the Angler's Realtor. Yosef Husseini is on the line this morning. Good morning, Yosef.
Good morning, Yosef.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning.
Or Justin, sorry.
You got it right, though. Justin Ryan. Yeah. It's all good.
Yeah. I worked with Justin years ago on the Aztec.
So. Oh, hey, who are we?
That's Yosef.
Yosef, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
Not much. How you been, brother?
I've been great. I've been great.
I didn't connect.
That's awesome.
So, we'll start up north, Santa Monica Bay area. There is still some good rockfish, sculpin whitefish fishing there around the artificial reefs. There are some sand bass bites as well. Calicos. Catalina front side, there is some decent yellowtail fishing, 6 to 12 pound fish from Arrow Point to the West End. There is a good halibut bite up there at Salta Verde in that area. The front side has 8 to 12 pound yellowtail on it that are biting pretty good. They're eating fly line sardines from the wall down to fish it. La Jolla fishing this week has been outstanding. Yellowtail showing up on half day counts again, bigger size fish, up to about 3 pounds. Coronado Island is not biting yellowtail so much, but there are some sea bass there. San Diego scored 7 the other day, 25 to 30 pound class sea bass, and there are a few that are starting to show up down there as well. Those fish look as low as they are. Ensenada is good, bonita yellowtail bite scattered all across the coast from Salsa Cuetes down to Ice Leap. Big news, guys. Fish close to home, giants, on the 390. There are 50 to 200-pound fish over there.
Wow.
These fish are moving up the line right now. Talked to Danny this morning, and SKR had fish show up.
Come on.
What?
Up to 300 pounds. At SKR, guys.
Oh, what? Crazy. I heard yesterday was just like the day that, you know, the ocean erupted. It sounded pretty amazing.
That's crazy.
Mayhem. I saw the Tuna Twins got a 300.
Wow.
Ridiculous already. These fish are moving up. Big wads of fish. The closer you get to home, they are
a little bit smaller, but these big fish are down on between the 390 and SKR, and they're running up to 300 pounds.
Unbelievable.
Dude, that's
smaller,
why...
like 20 to 40-pound fish.
That's why we stay tuned in, man, the fish dope.
This is awesome.
Yeah, we're in for a hell of a run, I think, this time, and how exciting to see that. And boy, yeah, it sounded like yesterday. Just you needed to be on the water. There was some very, very good fishing to be had, and like you said too, Yosef. I mean, that fish truly was in the same zone from 30 to 300. And guy trolling spreader bar catch a 300-pounder, guy fly line a bait catch a 30-pounder. 100 yards from each other.
It's crazy, yeah. And there's even fish up on the 371 moving north. Danny says these things will be on the 43 here in the next week or so.
Life is good, man. What a fun report, and what fun time it is. Keep in touch with fishdope.com. I know, had a great time getting to see you yesterday. Ali had a fun shindig and getting to talk to Jeff and all the boys from Fish Dope. There's just so much work that goes into that website. It's just a lot more than posting a set of GPS numbers. I mean, you really have a great source of information as a private boater. It's an absolute no brainer, and as a sport boat fisherman, it's fantastic too. Just to keep in touch with weather, keep in touch with trends, all the great information that Danny always posts. It's just a great job. You're certainly part of that team, and you guys just do it right, man. There's nothing like Fish Dope.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Now, what about on the other side? How's the real estate world going right now?
It is kicking butt. We, this last week, my phone has just been blowing off the hook with new deals and getting homes ready, and it's coming. As long as this interest rate falls a little bit, I think it's going to go richer here real soon. But people are buying and selling anyway. Interest rates are still in the mid-sixes, so it's not bad. It's moving. I think we're going to have a really good season this year for home buying during the summer.
I love it. And how was the response for your open house, the Escondido fishing property that you were talking to us about last week?
Sold.
Hey.
It was sold on Monday.
There you go.
Offers over the weekend and in escrow on Monday.
That's why you use the Angler's Realtor right there, buddy. Well, that's awesome news. Great job. A fantastic report. Lots of fun seeing you yesterday. Glad to hear the fishing is going so hot. And if somebody wants to get in touch with the best in real estate and have their house sold just like the one you talked about last weekend, how do we keep in touch with you?
You can get me at 619-277-2169. You get me on social media at Angler's Realtor. Or you can go to my website and get a free home evaluation at SoCalHomeEval.com.
Fantastic job. As always, Yosef, really appreciate it. Thanks for keeping us in the loop, and we'll talk to you next week.
Take care, guys.
Thanks, bro. Appreciate that very much. Great job. That's killer. Why don't we jump back into those phones, Corey?
Let's do it, Rick. How about Robert? Robert Cohn from Canyon Country. Good morning, Robert. Appreciate you joining us.
What's up, Robert?
Good morning, guys, and absolutely happy Mother's Day. So I have a couple of questions. First one. This gentleman sounds like the guy to ask. Who pulls harder, bluefin or yellowfin?
Oh.
Hearing 300 pounders is a little intense. And what's the weather like in Puerto Vallarta at that time of year?
So, great question.
I'll start off with the weather because that's the short one. awesome. That's why we're down there the time of year that we're down there is the winters in Puerto Vallarta are the best time of year to be down there. Normally our oceans are flat. It's still warm. Don't get me wrong. It's hot. Like they were asking me what to bring, flip-flops, sport shorts, sunglasses.
And how nice to do that in December.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's why we're down there. That's why we get out of there. I considered doing something different with my life where I was down there going fishing year-round. You don't want to be down there for half the year. I was talking to my wife yesterday, and she's just sweltering.
And the hurricane season, too.
Exactly. It keeps you off the water. And yeah. Like we were talking about why we do charters as opposed to open parties. I don't want to rain check people that are flying down there. I don't want you flying down there for a trip and having to deal with crappy weather if
right.
you can't go out. So during the winter, during our season down there, the weather is awesome. We sometimes have a little bit more of an offshore breeze at the beginning of our season, November, December, January, than we have later on. Later on, it's normally getting a little hotter, a little bit more stagnant. So it depends on what you want. If you want a breeze, sometimes a breeze is nice down there. It makes the ocean a little bumpier. But for all intents and purposes, it's gorgeous.
Just beautiful weather all the time. Are there migratory fish that come like that time of the year? I mean, other than the yellowfin?
So, yeah, we start to get a little bit more it gets more specific, I guess you can say,
yeah.
that later on. November, December, January, we still have a lot more of the migratory school-grade fish. So we have more of that, like, 25 to 60-pound yellowfin around.
Right.
So that stuff where it's, like, on the spinners and just, I mean, all you want, throw poppers, tell your red in the face. And then there's more of that Dorado. There's more billfish. There's more marlin and sailfish and stuff like that.
Oh, cool.
To play around with.
That's cool.
And then later on, we start to go where it's more of just that big stuff that's resident, that's hanging out all the time that we're playing with. So it's go big or go home.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's really neat, actually. Yeah.
I dig it. Well, that's great. And the other part of your question, in addition to, time of year.
Bluefin versus the yellowfin?
Thank you. Yeah, sorry.
So they are different. There is nothing like that pulls line with heavy drag off of a reel harder and faster than a big yellowfin tuna. I mean, when you're fishing 130-pound test and you're fishing 40-something pounds of drag and you just came tight on this big yellowfin, you watch that giant sickle, cut through the water and roll on that kite bait, there is nothing that is going to rip line off that reel like one of those yellowfin. It is ridiculous. But what I love about yellowfin is once that's said and done, once you get that beginning of the fight, when you're getting towards the end of it, where it's up and down fight, they start doing their circles. I mean, don't get me wrong, a 200-plus-pound yellowfin's not ever going to be easy, but they're
well-behaved.
They start to behave, exactly.
More manageable.
More manageable. You got to have the right tackle. You got to have a lot of drag on those things. All your connections have to be perfect, but if you've done your part of it right, you can lean on these things, and you can start gaining some line.
And the bluefin just go crazy.
The bluefin never have
a direction.
Stop. I mean, sometimes you can get wind these things almost to the boat right away if you're fishing really heavy tackle. I'm not sure. I've seen that at night. You hook them on the jig, and you got like a 180-pound fish that on the heavy drag almost comes straight up to the boat. But on the other side, I've had guys fishing these big bluefin. And they've been on that fish for an hour and a half. They've been sitting there. Now they're sweating. Now they're kind of, hey, Cap, give me a hand with this thing. And I'm like, I'll show you how to do it. Roll up my sleeves and get over there, grab that rod. And 45 minutes later, I'm like, are you ready again?
Yeah, right.
Ready to tap out. Yeah.
As you got your rear handed to you.
Bluefin don't give up. Bluefin just keep on going and going and going.
And unpredictable, though.
Absolutely. You'll get those things up to the boat. After you've been on them for a while, you finally get them up to the boat. And then you make a little mistake. You let them get their head out of the circle, and they take it all off the reel again.
But how exciting, like Yusuf talking about that bigger fish sliding up, right? We've had awesome bluefin fishing, right? But to add that bigger fish in the mix, does that get you excited?
Oh, absolutely. There's nothing I'd rather do than spend all winter and all summer just keep chasing around these jumbos.
Yeah. Is there still word? I haven't heard anything about the yellowfin in the last week and a half or so.
I think it's hard for people to kind of go out searching for that yellowfin right now when we have such good bluefin fishing.
Yeah.
For us to be able to go out there and catch these. Have very steady, consistent fishing on bluefin right next to where all these jumbos are.
It sounds like a good time to
right.
be
right. Yeah, right. Exactly. I see what you're saying, because it's in a different zone. How do you, it's the age-old thing. You can't leave them to find them. How do you leave a guaranteed thing to go look for something else?
Absolutely.
But it's just that mystique of what might be coming.
Oh,
too.
No doubt, man.
Hey, we're going to be right back, man. We're talking with Justin Ryan from the Apollo, and we've got more when we return. Your calls, text, and more when we return on the Let's Talk Hookup app, YouTube, Facebook Live, and 97.3 The Fan.
One Rod has set the standard for serious saltwater anglers worldwide, and that's CalStar. From the rugged dependability of the West Coast series, the lightweight strength of the Graphiter, or the performance of the GG series, all CalStar rods are handmade right here in Southern California of the finest materials and craftsmanship. Check out the new CalStar models now available, as well as upgrades to the classic rods that you know and love. If you want your tackle to be state-of-the-art tools to get the job done right, it's CalStar at fine tackle dealers.
Ford is celebrating our country's 250th anniversary with big savings for you. Employee pricing is back at your local San Diego County Ford dealers. You pay what we pay across the full lineup of Ford trucks and SUVs. We're here for those who build America, those who believe that giving everything we've got today will pay for tomorrow. Who will drive America forward for 250 years to come? If that's who you are, you value what we value, and you should pay what we pay. Now get employee pricing across the Ford lineup. Go to your local San Diego County Ford dealer today.
I believe there is no doubt that the finest sport fishing in the world starts right here in San Diego. This is Captain Frank Lopresti. Our fleet of long-range boats and crew are unmatched, and the Royal Polaris and Shogun are right at the top of the list. Captain Jonathan Yamati and his crew aboard the Royal Polaris are considered to be the finest long-range vessel in the world. From summer bluefin, yellowtail, and wahoo to giant yellowfin tuna, Our record is unmatched. The Shogun, under the direction of Captain Rene Montegudo, has become one of the most popular long-range boats in the fleet. This big, wide, solid riding vessel has gained a reputation for catching fish and treating their customers to an epic vacation on the water. I am so proud of Jonathan, Rene, and the crews on both the Royal Polaris and Shogun, as they have helped me keep the reputation of the premier vessels in the long-range fleet. Come see for yourself. Book a trip on the Royal Polaris or Shogun today. Check RoyalPolarisSportFishing.com or ShogunSportFishing.com or call Monica or Jen in the office at 619-226-8030.
Introducing new PowerPro Max 8 microfilament braided fishing line. It's built for offshore anglers seeking smooth casting and control. PowerPro Max 8 features an 8-carrier Spectra HT construction that cuts through current with ease for precise vertical jigging with a 25% thinner diameter. Available in white and metered, 4-color for trolling spread control and precise jigging depths. It's stronger, smoother, and thinner. PowerPro Max 8 is now available at your tackle retailer.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. I've been having so much fun and just, dude, stoked to be in the world headquarters with Justin Ryan from the Apollo and Mother's Day. And if you want to join us, you can do so. 833-288-0973 or text the through the app. And we're giving away a pair of Costa sunglasses, man, the Pilot House Pro.
Yeah, great pair of shades, the one lucky caller or texter. Like we said, phone lines are open right now. It's been a very busy morning show. So much fun having Justin in here. And if you want to get in us on the phones, it's 833-288-0973. That's how you reach us here on Let's Talk Hookup. And like you say, maybe you'll have a shot at winning those brand new Costas.
I know it.
In the meantime, had another great text come through. It says, good morning, guys. I really like watching a lot of Restomod car videos where they do the complete frame-off rebuilds and make it look and run better than new. And the story sure sounds like that's what you're doing with the Apollo. Any chance you took some footage or photos of the before and after process of Apollo in the yard? I'd love to see it. That's from Mike and Rosemead.
Absolutely, Mike. We've been taking photos the whole way through, photos and videos. I'm going to do some kind of cool collage or something when it's all said and done.
Great.
But you can check us out on social media, either myself, Pez Gringo, at Pez Gringo on Instagram. Just look me up on Facebook, Justin Ryan, or, of course, our boat, Apollo Sport Fishing. We've got our page as well. And I've been posting some little teasers here and there. It's kind of funny. One of the videos is like a 10-second video that probably got the most following out of it was just me with a little Milwaukee drill drilling a hole into the bottom of the boat when we first got things started.
Now, how much did you have to take the gulp when you start taking, you know, when you start pulling metal off of the boat, and moving bottom and things like that? That's you're officially starting a major, major project.
Major is an understatement. Yeah. This is insanity. We have done so much to this boat. A quarter of it is a new boat now. Our first project was we took the walls of the engine room off and replaced those panels. I mean, this is
think about the, that, right?
Yeah,
the part that's underwater.
The part that's underwater. The whole side of the boat from the breezeway to the back of the boat, just about. We took those walls off, and of course, take the walls off. You have to take everything that's attached to those walls off, whether it's all the plumbing, the head tanks, the refrigeration systems, the water makers, the hydraulic systems, everything. We took everything off of there, and then we replaced it. Thank you, guys. Big thanks to the guys at Chingon Welding. Ramon,
yeah,
the man and Jose. You guys
talk about
awesome.
Iconic.
Yes,
come on.
They're rad. So. They took off that we replaced the vast majority of our aft fuel tank. So this fuel tank hasn't been getting used for a few years, so she needed a new one. So this on these vessels, they are integrated. So the bottom of the boat is the bottom of the fuel tank. The top of the deck, below the slammer, below the lazarette, that's the top of the fuel tank. So we got rid of all that and welded on some new ones. And these guys, poor Jose's got himself crawling into all these little tiny holes. We're like cutting out baffles so he can get into the next section.
Wow.
Cutting out baffles, getting into the next section. And then we cut out a whole bunch of that and put it all in. And then Hal is an artist. He's our painter's not the right word. To take this down to new metal again and build her all back up to something that looks as gorgeous as she is. I mean, it is just, it looks like a yacht now.
It's not something, I mean, the things you're mentioning aren't something that's done every year or every 2 years or every 5 years or every 10 years.
Right.
These things have probably never, ever been done to this boat.
I was talking.
And what year was the boat launched?
1979.
Incredible, Justin.
I mean, what a great project. It's going to carry you and that boat and your family for a long time to come.
No doubt about it.
You did it the right way. You know, rather than try to get through a couple seasons and get some money in your pocket before you did it, you just took the leap of faith and pushed it all in. And
here we go.
Built the right ride for you and for your passengers.
Absolutely. I want to be able to focus on the fishing.
So you're into it for the long haul. It's not just for the next handful of years. I mean, this is your baby.
This is it from here on out, baby.
You and your wife. And your wife actually is of Mexican, huh?
She is. She's down there right now. She's actually in Mexico City at the moment with her mom and the family. It was my suegra. It was her mother's birthday yesterday. She turned 72. So they had all the family together, and now they're having Mother's Day. But they're all in Mexico City right now, and hopefully if everything goes well, she'll be able to come up here and hang out with me very shortly.
How cool.
That's awesome. That's
great. It's a really neat story.
Yeah, I think so too. I love it. Another fun text. Hey guys, I had the pleasure of fishing with Captain Justin several times on the Aztec. I'm so stoked also to hear that Oat's going to be part of the crew. Any of the other friendly faces from the Aztec days going to be part of the Apollo crew? Also, what is your opinion on the perfect load for a charter on the Apollo? That's from Mike in San Juan Capistrano.
So I've had some absolutely amazing co-workers on the Aztec. I've been on that boat for over 15 years. Great guys. Greg has been... He's taught me everything. He's done so much for me, and we've done so much together. And it was hard enough for me to leave to go on. It's time for me to do my own thing. You know, it was time for me to start my own venture. The last thing I was going to do is start inviting all the other guys that's part of our crew over there on the Aztec to come over and hop ship. So I told those guys, you're not allowed to even think about it. They've been kind enough to come over and play a little bit. But if you're looking to hang out with some of the crew from the Aztec, you can find them on the Aztec. They're still there waiting for you.
Which is cool because Greg came up under Marco on the Pacific Voyager.
Same with Jody.
Jody too. I forgot all about that. And yourself are all C4th. Homegrown.
Yep.
Like since young was Greg and Jody and
absolutely
and yourself.
I got to learn so much from those guys, and I'm trying to take it the next step forward.
It's kind of a cool home, right? I mean, the friendly parking and the convenience.
Absolutely.
And just so close to the open ocean. And
Kirk, if you guys know Kirk from the office,
sure.
Kirk,
yeah.
When I was working at English Choice, he'd pop over there. We'd meet up after work and go grab actually a handful of your swim baits, that season, run down to Kellogg's or run down to the docks here at Fisherman's Landing and go catch ourselves some bass and stuff
that. I didn't know that about Kirk.
Yeah, we were fishing buddies before the Seaforth times.
Wow. Family, man.
Well, what do you think about what's the ideal charter size? I mean, you've been on the boat before, seen how groups work together. Sounds like the boat carries well more than you need in terms of worry. Like, what in your mind is the perfect size charter group?
I mean, we're going a certain direction here. We're trying to do our luxury the best of the give yourself all this room. I think 18 to 20 is, I'd say 18. 18 is
that's
perfect.
The one.
Puerto Vallarta is a little bit different. That's why we go even lighter. We go down at 12 because we do have a lot of fish caught on kites and balloons. And I don't want you sitting there waiting for 2 days and trying to get your rotation on the kite. I think 18 is absolutely perfect as on a load on the Apollo. She's a big boat. She's a 65-foot boat, but we're not just trying to. I'm not telling you how many people fit. I'm telling you how many people make it.
Yeah,
make
that's
it really, really enjoyable.
And that's exactly what he was saying too. You know, I get it. I understand there's a butt, but if we want to do a charter, what's the captain's call on the very best amount working together, sitting in the galley together, that kind of thing?
Well, you just come out as charter as one. We'll have a great time.
Right? And so for the open party trips that are listed on out of Seaforth, what do you have as?
They're limited load and ultra limited load. We don't do it. We're never going to be packing them onto the Apollo. That's not our style. So we have 18 to, I think, 22 is the most we ever put on that boat.
Is for the open party at Seaforth. Right. Yeah, right. So cool. And it's really the same thing that JJ did when he was out of fishing. Huh, Rick? I mean, isn't that the...
It's always been that's what that boat has always done. And that's why I'm so stoked to get to, you know, talk to Justin and hear that same legacy is going to live on. It was always did the kind of custom things. It was always a next level up of service. It was always the smaller crowd, catered to, family atmosphere. Like,
absolutely.
Clearly that same passion is
he's carrying it on.
Yeah, you can tell, man. It's really cool.
And JJ, I mean, you knew who JJ was, right? I mean, down at the docks, but he was so... I don't want to say quiet, but he flew under the radar.
Yeah,
he's just one of those guys that, Rick, you knew that he had the top-notch service and boat. You know what I mean?
My favorite thing about JJ is like, one, there was almost never be a fish count turned in. And then all the time, guys would like, you know, you always joke, it's a very common thing. After the trip, guys come up, they'd be sitting in the tackle store, oh, there's great fishing. You could always tell when JJ was up to something special.
Something fishy.
Like, everybody would like have a blue, the same blue trash bag completely zipped up tight and get off the boat and into their truck and drive home. Nobody, there's no BS in, there was no nothing like, oh, with the Apollo kid. I don't know, they didn't turn in a fish report. And every single guy got off the boat in exactly the same march, like clearly directed, like we don't talk about what we do here, we just, we get on it. It was just, it was always fun.
And,
like,
and maybe he was on the bluefin that nobody else was on, or maybe he was on, you know.
Exactly. Whatever it was always something cool. You know?
Right, exactly.
It's just been a fun legacy, and I love that that boat's in such good hands, and yeah, it's fun. Really cool. Yeah. Really cool to see.
And to see Justin's carrying it on like that. No dude, doubt. I want to go on one of those Puerto Vallartas. I just want to be the sideline dude enjoying.
You just want to go catch watching Ongos. Let's
dude,
be real about it.
Hey, that's exactly.
Corey wants to cast a lead head and a swim bait and catch a big red snapper. Like.
And have those wonderful meals and hang out, man. Yeah.
We have one of our pastors, Darren Dohey, he's a big guy around here.
3'10 rod.
3'10 rod works, exactly. We talk about the watchy wars. We come out there and just go, like, he doesn't, I mean, yeah, it's nice. Let's go catch a couple cows, too. But are the snapper biting?
Yeah.
Are the snapper biting?
Man, after my own heart right there.
Absolutely. That's the fun stuff.
Yeah.
I had another fun quest, another text for us. It says, good morning, guys. Great show. Question for Captain Justin. When you're fishing PV, how are you targeting yellowfin most commonly? Is it bait? Is it jigs? Is it trolling? Is it kites? Just curious how the methods differ from up north.
So it does change, of course, but the vast majority is kites or balloons, depending on our weather. If it's windy, we use kites. If it's not windy, we use balloons and fly line. So our fly line is a little different. If those of you who have fished with us, you've heard me preach and scream about the 60-second bait, 60-second butt hook bait, change your bait, change your bait, change your bait. Down there in Puerto Vallarta, I recommend changing your bait at least once a day. It's long soak, shoulder hook, and lead them out there. But long soak baits and double trebles. That is the majority of what we do when there's squid available. We're fishing the squid on fly lines or under the balloons or kites as well. But yeah, normally we're setting up in areas of fish, and we're setting up kind of
or an area where the fish might be on the high spot. Or
right. I mean, you'll see signal. You know, we're not setting up blind, but it's not like you're just running on them. Oh, they kept going. We're not throwing bait. We're waiting for them to kind of hang out and check us out. And so it's a different style of fishing for sure. We call it the Puerto Vallarta long soak. You know, we get up on top of where these fish are hanging out and where they're coming through, and we're trying to get this fish to come check us out. As opposed to San Diego, where you try and get yourself on top of these things, you shovel a bunch of fish food on top of them, and either they hang out on that fish food or they run away. Mm-hmm. We don't put ourselves where we're going to push these things away. We're trying to get them to come check us out and see what the commotion is all about and go, hey, look, there's food here.
Awesome. Right, exactly. And that Puerto Vallarta, like, Ponga fleet, you know, I mean, it's smaller boats. I mean, they can kind of vibe boats out or whatever. Are you accepted pretty well? I mean, is the Apollo?
It's been working out really well, and a lot of that's thanks to Jody. Jody really, when we started down there, he knew how important that was.
You're a part of the local fleet, per se.
Yeah, we work with the guys really, really tight. I work with a lot of the local commercial fishermen and sport fishermen. And yet, make sure you're not stepping on toes, because we are foreigners. We are different, you know. And
dude, on a much larger boat.
Absolutely. So we work with the guys. You know, I can't tell you how many times, like, Jody taught me these tricks, you know. He said, when I came down.
Well, they're not tricks. They're gestures.
Exactly. But you do things properly for the long run. When he called me up, he says, okay, where do we get bait from? I said, I know a guy. He sells bait. And he sells it to me for X, you know. So I'm sure we're going to be getting so much bait. I'll talk to him. I'll get you a deal.
And you're paying them handsomely.
Oh, we take very good care of them. Yeah. But because of what Jody taught me, he said, no. I don't want a deal. You tell them whatever they're charging, that's what we pay.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want our bait going to some yacht. He wants to make sure that we're taking care of these guys at least as well as they're being taken care of, if not better. We were calling up the commercial guys next to us. I mean, these guys are in these pongas in the exposed pongas under like rattan mats, trying to keep the rain off them and whatnot, sleeping underneath rattan mats in crappy weather and exposed pongas, little pongas for days and days at a time after they're pulling long lines and whatnot. We call them up on the PA. Hey, man, you want some coffee? You want a brick? Want a breakfast sandwich or burrito or something like that? Come on over. You need some ice? You need some fuel?
Awesome.
How can we help?
Smart. Yeah, super cool.
I love that, man. Yeah, that's great.
It's really neat to see. I have a good text here, actually, Rick.
Yeah.
Good morning. Very cool show. Happy Mother's Day. Only good things to say about Justin. Always keeps the energy high, even on slow days of fishing. At the bottom of the ninth, he's doing all he can do to make sure passengers have their best shot at fish. And that comes from Matt in Camarillo. Oh, sounds like somebody that's fished cool. with you and knows you well.
I love that, man. That's awesome. I had a fun one, too, going back to the Jay legacies of the boat. And it was, hey, my name is Peter O'Toole. I painted the Apollo back in the 90s, and you forgot one Jay in the legacy. Before JJ, Jody, and Justin, it was Jeff Jones that owned the boat. The boat looks amazing. I ran into Justin at the PCS show in San Diego, wishing you the very best of luck.
Thanks, Pete. Thank you.
That's pretty
cool. How
cool
is that?
That's really cool.
All Jays. That's
a lot of Jays,
man.
Lots
of Jays.
And I forgot, Jeff Jones.
Yeah, I remember that name, Rick. But that's from, like, back in the 80s, right?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of neat.
Another one, hey, the most fun on a nice warm night hiding from Humboldt squid, raising tentacles heads just out of the water, and shooting water cannon into the rail. Can't wait to come down and fish with you. Can you tell us a little bit about fishing the squids, catching the squids, and how you deploy them for yellowfin tuna?
Absolutely, absolutely. So I spent so much time really thinking squid. Jody was running the boat. I was the night guy. I was running. So he's chasing tuna. I'm chasing bait. He's chasing tuna. I'm chasing bait. So we target this Humboldt squid on the deep side of the shelf. So we get off that shallower water, we get where that drop off is, and we turn on the lights. We try to get these Humboldts to kind of collect on us. Depending on moon, sometimes they're higher in the water column, sometimes they're lower. But we're fishing the smaller squid jigs, not like these big giant ones that we used to use for the jumbo Humboldts.
But like our standard size here,
beakies. Not, those things don't seem to work very well. Okay. But those little, whatever, they're 3-inch ones, those little hard ones. The fun way when they're squid around, when they're aggressive, you fish those little ones, not the lead ones, just those plastic ones, and you tie them on your bass rod. Tie them on some 10, 12, 15-pound test, and fish them like you're fishing a jerkbait.
Come on.
Now, I swear, you cast them out there.
Like surface style.
Surface fishing for Humboldt squid. It makes an absolute blast, too. But you're sitting there. I mean, these are foot longers. And when you hook one of these things on your bass rod, they'll put on a little tug. When we're drifting real slow and we collect bait and that squid is a little deeper in the water column, we'll fish the same thing on a dropper loop or with a sliding sinker and get it a little deeper in the water. Because if we drift slow, we collect bait and that squid stays a little deeper where it's getting its meals down there. But yeah, the squid fishing is a blast on its own. Like I said, I used to turn some heads because I'd be walking down the dock onto the Apollo with my bass rod, and we'd come back 5 days later with dock carts full of 300-pound tuna. And they're like, how did you? What did you? But as far as fishing with the squid goes, the beauty of the squid, not just the tuna love them, but when we're using squid, we are able to fish really heavy tackle. So you do so. We fish like at least a 9-0, sometimes a 12-0 or even larger hook, 400-pound leaders. We'll fish these things on the balloons or the kites, depending on weather, with really, really heavy tackle, or even on the fly line. That's when we take the extra effort to take off the – we're definitely not fishing 100-pound. 130-pound is not even necessary. 150-pound with at least a 9-0. Those Owner Super Mutus are my go-to. Fish one of those. I'd like to pin those things on just once. Those of you guys who are really into sea bass fishing and that kind of stuff, fish a lot of squid, you might notice that when you pin those things on twice, then they kind of get that little bill on them. They'll spin around on you in the current. So since we're doing long soaks, I like to go through once so they look nice and natural in the water. Fish them on the heavy, heavy stuff. And tuna, don't nibble. Even though you got this big 12, 16, 18-inch long squid on there, when that thing gets bit, you're pretty aware of it. And we'll fish, we'll take those squid too, and if our bait tank's full already, if we've had a really good squid night, we'll just throw them on ice and keep them fresh. And dead or alive, they seem to work just as well.
Yeah, that's cool.
So when you're
dead, amazing,
squid,
right?
You're good to go.
That sounds like so much fun.
Oh, it's a blast.
Dude, the squid harvesting sounds like fun, man.
It's a lot of good time.
Popper style? Come on now.
Ode ever put a little piece of that? Well, I guess he's
been down in Puerto Vallarta.
Yeah, he's on the San Diego side of things. So I can't wait to see what he'd do with a piece of that.
Exactly. I can't wait to see his Humboldt magic.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. End up in a little Thai dish.
picture.
Yeah, better not cook up all my bait, though.
Sounds like so much fun. I actually have another text that's kind of regarding it. We have a very short time here. Hey, Justin, Greg Johnson here. I can't say enough how excited I am to get the Apollo, and he wanted to know how you cook your bluefin tuna. What's your favorite way?
My favorite way to cook
10
tuna?
10 seconds.
Don't.
Don't cook it.
Don't. There is nothing better than raw tuna. Pokey, sashimi, however you're going to do it. Don't stop cooking your tuna.
That sounds that's good. A good answer.
We're going to find out who's won these Paracosas when we return on the Let's Talk a Kebab YouTube, Facebook Live, and 97.3 The Fan.
Looking for the ultimate Alaska fishing experience and the best value in Alaska? Look no further than Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. A trip to Kingfisher includes everything you need to make your experience legendary. The finest fishing fleet in Sitka with the best captains, deluxe accommodations, gourmet food, world-class fish processing, and the best part, it's all included for one amazing price. Kingfisher is Let's Talk Hookup's most popular destination. Hundreds of listeners have experienced Kingfisher Charters, and most go back again and again. You have probably heard a lot of big promises from other Alaska lodges, only to find there were lots of hidden charges. Not Kingfisher. Everything is included. 10-hour fishing days, your license, fish processing, super deluxe accommodations, amazing food, airport transfers, and fishing gear. All you bring is your layer clothing, and Kingfisher covers the rest. Kingfisher Charters, your Alaska fishing destination. 800-727-6136 or check KingfisherCharters.com.
Hunters Outdoorsman, Southern California's number one shooting, hunting, and fishing tackle retailer since 1971. Is right in your neighborhood now with stores throughout Southern, Central, and Northern California. No one does it better. Turner's Outdoorsman brings you the best prices and selection, plus a knowledgeable staff that will help make your day on the water or in the field more fun. Stop by your neighborhood Turner's Outdoorsman. To find a location nearest you, check the web at turners.com and sign up for special deals and more.
Hi, this is Captain Ray Lopez, owner-operator of the American Angler. I've spent more than half my life aboard the American Angler along with my partners Brian and Lori, developing a team that's as good as it gets. I've been fortunate to spend time on the ocean with so many fine people that I look forward to fishing with. We can't thank you enough for being part of the American Angler family, and if you haven't joined us, we love the opportunity to meet you. Text or call Lori at 619-223-5414 or check AmericanAnglerSportFishing.com.
Shimano has taken trolling for big fish to the next level. Introducing the new Shimano Ledge Runner. They set a new standard for offshore diving plugs. Featuring a patented technology, the Shimano Ledge Runner offers seamless depth shifting from shallow to deep ranges while maintaining stable swimming actions, even at high trolling speeds. Designed with durability and longevity in mind, Ledge Runner is available in two sizes and an array of colors. One, its amazing features is ADR, or adjustable depth range, a feature that enables anglers to change trolling depths with ease and efficiency. In addition, the Shimano Ledge Runner has HCW, or Hydro Control Wing, a stabilization feature ensuring that the lure swims straight, even at high speeds. Be ready to hear that clicker go off with the Shimano Ledge Runner, available now at your local Shimano dealer.
Every boater wants reliability and peace of mind on the water. And that's exactly what Towboat US San Diego provides. As part of the largest on-water towing fleet in the nation, Towboat US San Diego is ready to respond when you need them. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. As a member, you get free towing, free fuel delivery, free jump starts, and many more services. Now is a great time to sign up for a Boat US membership, as they are celebrating their 60th anniversary by giving away a 21-foot Grady White boat, plus lots of other prizes. Entry is free. Sign up at BoatUS.com. Let's face it, when you're out on the water, things happen fast. And Towboat US San Diego can help you get home safe. Their fleet of boats and professional captains are standing by ready to lend you a hand when you need it. Membership is inexpensive and is certainly a must-have for any boat owner. Check BoatUS.com for details and sign up for the Grady White Boat Giveaway, which ends June 15th. Towboat US San Diego, your friend on the water.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. One lucky winner today. Go ahead, flip the coin. Text or caller? Ooh, is it a caller?
Caller today.
Today the caller is Sean and Lomita. Congratulations on those Costa sunglasses.
Yeah, Sean, you're going to be stoked. Justin, this was so much fun having you in here this morning. What a great what a great operation you've got coming forward. We're really, really happy for you, and
thank
man,
you,
really
you
appreciate
very
you
much.
Coming and hanging a couple hours with us. You sold me, and Corey's already trying to book his Watchinongo spot. But if somebody really wants to come fishing with you, enjoy the great San Diego season at a C4th, enjoy Puerto Vallarta, fishing in Mexico with you, how do we do it?
Check us out online. It's apollocharters.com. C4th Sport Fishing. You can also click on the boat. Just go to Fleet. Go to the Apollo Vessel. You'll see our whole calendar on there as well. Or you can check us out on social media, Instagram, Facebook. If those of you guys, I know a lot of you guys have been fishing with me forever. Hit me up on either one of those. If you have questions, ask.
You're available. That's awesome, man. Well, a fantastic job, buddy. We really appreciate it. And wish you the best of luck in the season coming forward. And we can't wait to see the claws you do of the boat all finished up. Hey, another couple of great shows coming for you next weekend. Next Saturday, Captain Dwayne Diego from Pinnacle Sport Fishing. And next Sunday, Captain Benny Florentino from Coastal Charter. Is going to be a lot of fun. Big happy Mother's Day to everybody out there. Big happy Mother's Day to
happy
my
wife, Mother's
Dallas. And we look forward to it. Big thanks to Jeff for keeping us going on the fan. Adam on the app. Appreciate you guys. We'll look forward to listening to you next weekend, Saturday and Sunday, on the Let's Talk Hookup app, Facebook and YouTube Live, and 97.3 The Fan.